Father, we come today realizing that we do have an enemy out there, and he is trying to trip us up every way that he knows. We also know that you have given us your word, you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have given us the name of Jesus whereby we can overcome this wicked one. But all of us will go through this. And we just pray today for your grace, and we pray that you would give us understanding, that we would understand ourselves, and that we would understand the enemy, but that most of all, we would understand your power to keep us. Now take your word and use it in our hearts today in ways that are pleasing to you and that are in keeping with your purpose. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you are one of the people that like to take the notes, fill in the blanks, and have something to look at later, now would be the time. And today is basically just an overview of this topic. We want to say just a few things about temptation here, and we'll be going through some points here. But temptation is, well, what is temptation? It's a test. It's my understanding that the original words in both the Hebrew and the Greek can be translated either way. You can translate it temptation, or you can translate it test. It is a test, and God allows it. And as we will see, not even our Lord Jesus was exempt from this. And also that we have a powerful enemy, and one of his names is the tempter. In fact, that is what he is called in this passage. And it is quite an art, and he has developed it well down through the years. And of course, he probably has more means at his disposal, more tools at his disposal today than he has ever had in order to bring temptation into the life of a believer. So this is certainly... This may not be a topic we feel real comfortable talking about or even dwelling on in our minds, and yet it is a reality, and it is dealt with in Scripture, and not just here, but in other parts of the New Testament as well. Temptation basically is a trap, and when a bird hunter goes out, he sets these traps. And, of course, traps almost always have one thing in common. They have something called bait. And down in Cuba, they had these little things that grew on a vine. And when they ripened, they turned a bright yellow, almost orange. And if you popped them open, they had little red seeds in them. To this day, I don't know the name of it. But the boys down there would make bird traps out of little bamboo rods. And they were really ingenious, and they had a little thing where if the bird landed on it, it would just do like this, and then the bird would be inside, and the bird would be after. They would put that inside. And almost any kind of trap has something on it called bait. And so that's really what temptation is, and you can read about that in James there. And he says, when anyone is tempted, you shouldn't say, God is tempting me. Because God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And so temptation wouldn't work, and it wouldn't exist except for certain desires or appetites that we have. And those are what the temptation appeals to. And of course, the enemy uses this very effectively because... believe it or not, he does know what your weakness is and what my weakness is, and he knows. And by trial and error, he designs temptations. These are custom-made, tailor-made in timing and composition and everything else, and sometimes can be very, very effective. And of course, the only counterpart is to be so full of the Word and walking close to the Lord and being able, you know, there are legendary bass swimming in streams that are old and wise and know not to take the bait. And that's how they've been around so long. And there are wolves in certain areas that I've read about, and they just know. They just have a sense, and they know not to take the bait, and so they elude their hunters year after year. Well, in the Christian realm, that's where the Lord wants to get us, and I imagine all of us have fallen into temptation at one time or another. And if we do, it isn't the end of the world. But the ideal is to be able to avoid it as much as possible. It says, "These things I write that you sin not. If any man has sinned, we have an advocate with the Father." Who is he? Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So if we do sin, it's not the end of the world for us in that we have recourse, we have an intercessor, and we have one who shed his blood for us on the cross. Nonetheless, in order to be a strong, healthy believer, we need to learn to deal with temptation, because we will be much more effective as Christians, and we will be much more effective in our walk with the Lord if we learn how to deal with temptation. So temptation is basically a trap, and it is also a test, and that is why God allows it. When a new product is made, after they have designed it, found the right materials to make the various parts for it, and assembled it, what do? They test it to see if it works. Now, Kenny Davis, I don't think is here today, but he was a plumber for many years. And after a plumber has gone out there and he has replaced that pipe and tightened those fittings and done the stuff, what do? You test it to see if it still has a leak or not. And that's what happens with temptation sometimes. And we find out, oops, there's still a leak. So this needs some work. So temptation can actually be useful in that way, because we can learn about ourselves in it. We just don't know everything overnight. Sorry, we just don't. But through temptation and maybe a failure or two here or there, it can be useful, because we learn about ourselves. And we also learn about Satan's methods, and we also learn more about the Lord's keeping power and how to avoid it. So temptation, any individual temptation, it's terrible to fail, but if in that failure we learn the things we need to learn, it's not for naught, and can actually help us to get to the next step. Take the next step, get to the next level, get where we need to be. So we need not look at it totally in a negative light. And that is exactly why the Lord allows it, because anyone he has washed by his blood will be allowed to be tested. He just does, and we should not view that necessarily as a negative thing. It can actually, in the long run, it can make us stronger. And I was thinking today how in nature, God has designed things to actually grow stronger through testing. Think of those big old oaks, and they've been through so many storms and all of that, and all of the things that they go through, God has designed them to grow stronger as they're tested. It's not that way in things we make, but it is that way in things that God designs. Isn't our God a wonderful God? And so we find that that strength comes through testing. So I just thought I would talk about those general things. And it says in James 1:12 there, in the lead into that passage that we just read, it said, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial," or temptation in the King James, "because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." So isn't that an encouraging word there? And so it is a fact of life. It is a part of life. And so today, let's look at it briefly here through the prism of this encounter between Jesus now and the enemy. Now, this comes right on the heels of Jesus he's just at the point that he's going to start his ministry. He's been in seclusion in Nazareth all these years. He's about 30 years old, and you couldn't really be acknowledged as a rabbi, from what I understand, until you were about 30. So at this time, he knows that the time is right, and he comes to be baptized of John in the Jordan. John says, "I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus says, "No, I need to do this. It is right to fulfill all righteousness." So he did, and we read where when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came down in physical form and lighted on Jesus. And then there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It's the only place I know of where we see the whole Trinity manifested in one place at one time. But then, immediately, this is a high point. This has got to be a high point. God has expressed verbally in front of people his approval of his Son. But immediately, he is driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, the wilderness, I don't know if you've been in the wilderness. I haven't been in the wilderness a whole lot. And, of course, all these things have spiritual meanings. But it is an austere place. It is a cruel place. It is barren. It is lonely. It is isolated. It is hot in the daytime. And it is cold at night. And there are dangers from wild beasts. And Mark even says he was out there with the wild beasts. It even mentions that. This is an austere place. So he wasn't just fasting. He was fasting in the wilderness. And out there, it was just him. So when this encounter takes place, it is at the end of the 40-day period. Jesus, fully God, but fully man. And so when it says he's hungry, he is probably also weak at this point. And, somewhere, maybe not at the outer limit, but near the outer limit of physical endurance. And so the enemy loves to catch us when we're at our weakest or whatever. But let's go down through these points here. Number one, the face-off takes place in the wilderness when Jesus is in a state of isolation. It's just him and the Lord and the devil. There isn't a wife there to support him. There is not a group of Christian friends to support him. There is not a group of Christian friends to pray for him. How many believe in the prayers of God's people? He is literally out there. It is just, and so this has meaning. Not only the fact that he fasts, but the setting of it. The Spirit drives him specifically to the wilderness. So he is out there in isolation, and there is nobody there to help him whatsoever. He is completely without, what, let's just say, human support. Have you ever felt that way? You can be in a crowd of people and feel that way. But the Lord is with you. And the Lord will teach you things through this experience. But sometimes it just feels like you say, "I just feel like all my props are being kicked out from under me." Well, maybe they are. And you say, "Well, why would the Lord do this?" You're going through a time of testing. And again, I don't know whether to be sorry to tell you, but I just have to tell you. Sometimes you have to tell your little children things they don't want to hear, and I have to be told things I don't want to hear. But if we love the Lord and serve the Lord, it's wonderful to serve the Lord, but he's going to allow us times of isolation. And he's going to allow us times of what we might call a wilderness experience. And it's not a fun time, folks. And it's a time when we feel abandoned by everybody. And indeed, in some cases, maybe we are. But that does not mean the Lord has left us. He may be hiding from us at that moment, in a sense. But he hasn't left us. And he's there for us if we look for him and if we call on him. Number two, the face-off is of considerable duration. Even though the actual temptations and approaches seem to be kind of in a cluster toward the end, but in reality, there has to be a spiritual battle going on here the whole 40 days, folks. And 40 days is noteworthy in Scripture. How long did it rain in the flood? And we could name some other things. It's not exactly the same as 24 hours. You know what I mean? It's not even the same thing as 72 hours. 40 days. It's not even the same thing as a month. Now, if you were in this situation, is it possible that those last 10 days might be harder than the first 30? Huh? Ever thought about that? Or those last two harder than the first 38? It is of considerable duration. We also may find ourselves in a situation where the Lord is allowing certain things, and we say, I just feel like this is never going to end. When is this going to end? And it's like I'm praying, and I'm not getting anywhere. So that happens too. And in a time of testing, that is sometimes the way it can be. Number three, the face-off occurs with the Father's knowledge and permission. We know this because he's driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit never does anything contrary to the Father's will, knowledge, plan, and purpose. The face-off occurs with the Father's knowledge and permission. Jesus, though God's Son, is not exempt from being tested. In fact, he must be tested. And now, in retrospect, we can see at least two reasons why he had to be tested. He had to be tested, first of all, to prove that he really was totally loyal to the Father and that he really was qualified to be the Savior of the world. And number two, even now, if you read Hebrews, even now as our intercessor, it says he's a compassionate high priest because he can feel our pain and he can feel our infirmity because he's been there and he's lived in himself and he knows himself what it is like. So, it had to be. And Christian friend, don't despair in these times of testing. Just hang in there. Hang in there because when the Lord brings the deliverance, he'll bring it. And he'll bring it right on time. But he's not going to cut the test short in order to make you a little more comfortable. That's what's happening in our schools now every day. And we see what it produces. So the Lord isn't going to cut it short. And if he does, just because we ask, in the long run, we're asking him to do us a disservice. Lord, in your timing, in this test, in your timing, when you know how much I can endure. And by the way, there is a wonderful promise. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. So So if you need grace for today, patience for today, whatever it is you need, he'll give it. He'll only give it one day at a time. And when it is time, he'll lift it. But there are lessons to be learned. And some lessons can only be learned. Think of the kind of, we talk about, we take, in a sense, I'll use it in a good way, great pride in our special forces and all the things that they're able to do overseas. But do you know what kind of training and stuff those guys go through? But let me ask you this. If they didn't put them through all that torture and stuff they go through, would they be able to do what they do? There's your answer right there. So it happens with the Father's knowledge. And even though he's God's son, he's not exempt. Number four, this is a one-on-one face-off between Satan himself and the one designated to be the Savior of the world. The stakes are high. Folks, this is the Super Bowl here. This is the championship chess match. This is the one right here. Only time in history. What will happen? I imagine angels are watching this one. My older brother Preston, that lives in Texas now, he used to say when I was just little, he'd say, Amos, what happens when the irresistible force meets the unmovable object? So, this is a great face-off here, but it's a one-on-one. He is called the tempter. It says Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted of who? The devil. There is a devil. Somebody said to me just in the last week or two, said they never talk about the devil in church anymore. When was the last time you even heard a TV preacher talk about the devil? So has the devil gone away? A personal devil. Not just some principle of evil. A personal devil. He is smart. He is cunning. And to a certain degree, he's been defeated by Christ. But in the natural realm, to a certain degree, powerful. Yes, and he has a whole bunch of minions working for him who aid him in this enterprise, and they move in the heavenlies, in the atmosphere, and they are behind so much of what happens in this world, including at times what may happen in your life and in mine, and they are very, very, very interested in what is going on with relation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they want to block the spread of that every single way they can. And they want to infiltrate the church every single way they can. And weaken believers so that we profess one thing, but we don't really live it. And we profess one thing, and we really live another. And they've been pretty successful, have they not? But it's a personal thing, folks. It is real. Let's just put it that way. Number five, each test is personal and especially designed for this particular encounter. How many believe there aren't accidents, are not accidents in the life of a believer? I believe that. Anything that comes in my life, God knew about it beforehand. If it's a negative thing, he at least allowed it. He at least didn't block it because he plans to use it ultimately for his purposes. He doesn't necessarily do it directly, but he may allow it. But every encounter, it is tailor-made. Because like I say, the enemy knows what our weaknesses are. He's not going to hit you where it's strong. I heard somebody say on TV last night, the thief or the common criminal isn't going to go try to rob a gun store. There's guns there. He's going to go into a school where nobody's armed. Somebody that wants to do a whole lot of harm and a whole lot of damage. And so he's not going to hit us where we're strong. He's going to hit us where he knows we have a weakness or a potential weakness. And if he thinks, well, so-and-so may have a potential weakness in this area, let's find out. Are preachers exempt? No. Nobody's exempt. And we don't know. And see, that, as I said earlier, is one of the values of temptation. Sometimes in that temptation, we find out things about ourselves we didn't even know about ourselves. We're like, whoa. I didn't know I could be that angry. I didn't know that I was capable of that much bitterness against somebody. I didn't know I had a problem with lust at that level or whatever else it may be. So it can be, but the enemy designs it. And they're not, believe me, they're not by accident. And even the timing, oh, it's really interesting sometimes to watch. Oh, yeah, just at the moment. We're distracted, our mind's on something else, and before we know it, caught. Just like that. So, again, to be prepared, to be ready. Number six. Jesus is approached at his most vulnerable moment. And some things never change. And this is one of them, folks. So he gets him. Can I turn this off? Hold on. Are we back online? He catches him at his most vulnerable moment. And he'll do that to us as well. Number seven, Jesus is tested in three critical areas and passes each one with flying colors. Now, we don't have time to get into all of this in detail this morning. That is actually a separate message, and some of you have heard messages on this. But all temptations fall into one of three general categories, and I'm going to label them this way. They come in different labels. The area of appetites. Signified in the first temptation. The area of ego, exemplified in the second temptation. And the issue of our value system, which is exemplified in the last one. They are expressed another way. There where it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, which there, that's the value system one, and the pride of life, that's the ego one. And by the way, fear and timidity and not being able to cope and all of that, that is just as much ego as arrogance is. So, every temptation is going to hit in one of those general areas because we all have physical appetites. We all, unless it is totally hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a certain amount of ego and the value system. You say, what do you mean by value system? Are we going to choose the present or are we going to choose the eternal? And we are always faced with that choice. He says, I'll give you all this right now. Hey, I imagine. I'll give you all this right now if you'll just bow down. Because the devil knows that if he bows down just for 2 seconds and worships him, he has forfeited everything else for eternity that God had planned for him. And he knows that about you, and he knows that about me. In certain situations. And he is always looking for us to exchange. And he's always tempting us in these areas. Let me give you another thing just real quick. Now this I didn't see anywhere, read anywhere. But he wants us to choose what is expedient over what is essential. That's the first temptation. It would have been expedient for Jesus to say to the stone, turn into bread and satisfy his appetite right then and there. Oh, I feel so much better. Wouldn't that have been expedient? But Jesus' answer focused on the essential. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Temptation number two, he wants us to focus on sensation rather than substance. And there's a lot of that going on in the church of Jesus Christ today. Sensation over substance. Let's go over there. They got all the jumping, the hollering, and all the latest sound equipment. Have I stopped preaching and started meddling or what? Sensation over substance. Substance is Bible teaching. Substance is getting into the Word of God. Substance is growing in character as believers. Now, I'm not against expressing ourselves in worship. Don't go there. But I'm just saying we like a lot of sensation today. And just as of old, of course sensation is going to draw people. If I say, if we hit 250 in Sunday school, I'm going to jump off of the corner of the church. Of course a crowd will gather. Or I'm going to swallow a goldfish or whatever else. But the enemy will always, and then of course, either the present or the eternal. That's the last one. Am I going to choose everything he wants to give me now? And a lot of people have done that. They had a talent for the Lord. They could have used it for the Lord. But the devil said, look, if you'll use it for me, I'll make you rich and famous and get you on TV. And he does. But man, what a price do they pay later? And what a price we pay when we give in. Let me just tell you this. I know you know it. The devil is not your friend. And if he's offering you something that looks mighty, mighty good, you better check it out really, really good. Because in that bait, where's Ray Westmoreland? In that bait, there's a hook. Number eight. Jesus is not only sinless and committed to the Father's will, he knows the Word of God. And here's the important part for him and us. And he knows how to use it. It's one thing to be able to spout off Bible verses and know a lot of verses by heart. And that's good, and we encourage that. But that doesn't mean you know how to use it. Just because you're carrying a pistol in your holster doesn't mean you know how to use it. Huh? Would you want your 7-year-old, regardless of what your view is on gun control and all that stuff, but would you want your 7-year-old walking around with a loaded gun? And so as we stay in the Word of God, as we make the Word of God a really key thing in our lives, as we really don't just read, but read to understand and say, Holy Spirit, show me the truth of your Word, and we walk in fellowship with the Lord, yes, we're going to learn those verses, and yes, they're going to come in really, really handy. And when are they going to come in handy? They're going to come in handy in situations just like this. And when the big showdown comes, yes, you better have your 45 or whatever it is, and you better have it loaded. And you better know how to point it and where to point it. Sometimes we point those pistols at each other's heads. It's the enemy we need to be pointing the pistol at. But to know God's Word and to know how to use it, and for God's Word to live in us and to dwell in us, really, really dwell in us, That's going to be the best defense that we have. Amen? And the good news is we can all avail ourselves of this. And we just need to stay in it. That's all. Just need to stay in it. If you learned how to shoot one day 20 years ago, does that mean you don't still need to get it out and practice now? We need to stay in the Word of God. And may the Lord use His Word in our lives successfully in the area of temptation. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you're still the same God. And we thank you that even though you allow us to go through times of testing, and sometimes we don't understand, we wonder how long it's going to last or why, or if you still love us or whatever. But, oh, Father, help us to endure. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, because after he has endured, he's going to receive that crown of righteousness. And, oh, Lord, just help us, Lord, every day. Just help us, Lord, to know that whatever we encounter, Lord, that we're going to encounter things, but you're going to be there with us, Lord. Help us to stay connected to you at all times. And do teach us your word and teach us the proper use of it so that we may have what we need when the hour of temptation or testing comes. Thank you for all of those who have gone before us, who have fought the good fight of the faith, who have crossed that finish line, and are now cheering us on. They too were tempted. They too were tried. They too faced the same kinds of things that we face today. Some of them even more rigorous things than we face today. But they came through because they were rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were rooted and grounded in your word. And they were following and listening to the voice of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that as you worked in them, that you will work in us today. To love you, to know you, to serve you, and to be a godly influence on those around us. And because we have been tempted, we are better able to sympathize with those who today are going through any temptation, that we may love them, that we may pray with them, that we may encourage them. Thank you, Father, and thank you that in the end, your goal is just to make us stronger and bring us closer to you. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.